Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I can't thank you guys enough for all the support, kind reviews, and ratings on iTunes. It's really been overwhelming, and I certainly appreciate it, and I'm going to keep rocking and rolling on the clinical pharmacology education. So today I'm going to talk about tramadol. Tramadol is a medication I see used quite a bit, a fair amount. I would classify it within the opioid category. Its mechanism of action is that it binds mu receptors, opioid receptors, and through CNS, central nervous system inhibition, it can kind of blunt the pain response and pain pathways that way. When you compare this to something like, let's say, an NSAID, like ibuprofen, which certainly go back and listen to that podcast about NSAID pearls. But when you compare tramadol and the other opioids, which I'll cover ahead here on future podcasts, you've got to remember the difference in that pain pathway. I think that's important, that the opioids basically block the interpretation, the brain from processing pain signals, while the NSAIDs typically work on the periphery at the site of action in reducing inflammation and pain mediators at that site of the pain. So hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of difference on how different pain medications work, particularly NSAIDs versus opioids are a good way to compare and contrast there. Now, with side effects of tramadol, brand name is Ultram on that medication, if I didn't say that. There is another dosage form called Ultracet, which is a combination of tramadol and acetaminophen. I can't say I hardly ever see it utilized, but you may see some providers that do use it occasionally. So getting back to side effects, tramadol, think of opioid-type side effects with a few caveats, which I'll talk about. So opioid side effects, constipation can happen, certainly sedation. Whenever you've got a medication that works in the brain, central nervous system, you've got to think of the possibility that CNS changes can happen. Confusion, delirium, I've seen unique and weird hallucinations, things like that. Also can centrally act and contribute to respiratory depression. Now, tramadol is a little bit of a milder opioid, so depending upon the dose, low doses of tramadol may be less likely to cause this than, say, a more potent opioid like fentanyl or something like that. Again, all relative and all dose dependent, but tramadol is definitely on the lower potency end of the opioid scale. And kind of relaying that to you, approximate equivalent dose of tramadol, 50 milligrams is approximately equivalent to 5 milligrams of oral morphine. So if that kind of gives you a sense of how much more tramadol it takes to basically cause a similar or same effect, hopefully that it helps kind of show you the potency of tramadol. Now, there are two really unique pearls with tramadol that I wanted to cover this drug separately kind of for that reason. So one is the risk of serotonin syndrome. Tramadol has the potential for some serotonin activity. Serotonin, extremely, extremely rare. And obviously in adding tramadol on, the higher the doses we go, and the likelihood or the patient being on other serotonergic drugs potentially increases that risk of serotonin syndrome. Again, extremely, extremely rare, but it is something to think about with tramadol compared to maybe some of the other opioids which may not have as much or any serotonin activity. One other really, really important adverse effect or part of its profile, tramadol's profile, is it can lower seizure threshold. So this is particularly important in the young and old sometimes, particularly old. We don't really use tramadol much at all in kids. But in elderly patients where tramadol maybe is used more frequently than our younger population, elderly tend to be at more risk for seizures and developing seizures. So with that said, if you have a patient with epilepsy, you're probably going to want to steer clear of using Ultram altogether. If you've got a patient that you see on multiple seizure drugs and we're trying to prevent seizures, again, great example of a patient where that might be a little bit higher risk play. So important to keep that in mind. We've also got other drugs. So if you've got a patient on Wellbutrin that maybe is lowering seizure threshold and we add in tramadol, you know, there is a potential to kind of further lower that seizure threshold. Again, we're kind of have to look at risk and individual patients that way. But I think those are important things to kind of look at and at least think about as you're assessing and reviewing a patient case and determining whether or not you want to put somebody on Ultram. Just like other opioids, tramadol has risk of addiction, dependence. It is a controlled substance, so accountability and things like that. If you're a nurse giving out medications or in a pharmacy, we need to be accountable and keep track of a medication like tramadol. Interestingly, tramadol compared to other opioids or most other opioids has a ceiling limit dose. Most opioids, you can escalate and escalate and escalate, and patients can become tolerant and that type of thing, and you can continue to go up on the dose. I've seen patients on crazy high doses of opioids before, in many cases probably inappropriate, but there's a tolerance that can develop there. And tolerance can happen with tramadol as well. However, that tolerance to seizures and the serotonin side effects, more so associated with tramadol compared to other opioids, that doesn't go away. That doesn't keep going up. You generally don't get a tolerance to that quite as much. So we do have maximum recommended doses on tramadol. And that's 400 milligrams. You may see 300 milligrams in our elderly patients there. So again, just remember that you can't just keep escalating that dose. It's important to look out for that for sure. Let's take a quick break, and please go support our sponsor that helps keep this education and information free and of no cost to you. So sponsor today is MedEd101.com. Lots of Naplex, BCPS, BCACP. I've got some NCLEX test prep material there as well. So lots of different tools for you to utilize as far as your studying purposes, preparing for board exams. And you can go check that out at meded101.com/store for more information. Let's finish up on drug interactions here. With the use of tramadol, there's a couple of things that I think about. So first off, I kind of hinted at it already. So serotonin syndrome, if you've got somebody on a high-dose Zoloft, a high-dose citalopram, medications within that class, we do have to at least consider the risk for serotonin syndrome and monitor for that closely. Another situation that I think of as far as drug interaction specifically with tramadol is when you see patients on medications for seizures, you've got to recognize that tramadol can potentially increase that risk of seizures and basically oppose what we're trying to do with the seizure prevention medications. Lots of drug interactions with CNS depressants. So I think of, you know, anticholinergic medications, maybe things like TCAs, maybe, medications for back spasms and antispasmodics like baclofen, cyclobenzaprine, any medication. Benzodiazepine is another good example of a med that we try to really not use together. And that interaction is basically just going to pile on top of each other. And there's a risk of basically over-sedating that patient. So any type of sedating agents, when you use those two together, the more we add on, the higher the risk we run of really kind of zonking that patient out. I think that sums up the podcast for today. A couple really important points. If you want to give us a little shout out, give us a rating, review on iTunes, greatly appreciated. One other thing that you can get for absolutely free is basically a top 200 study guide where I lay out three highly testable pearls from each of those top 200 drugs. It's a 31-page PDF, so there's plenty of content there. A great way to kind of prep, review for finals, board exams, and things of that nature. So reallifepharmacology.com is the free top 200 study guide. So hopefully you find those find that resource helpful. Again, reach out if you have any questions, concerns. You can contact us at the website, reallifepharmacology.com. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day.